This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, back again this week, boys and girls, on a rainy July 5th. Hopefully you took advantage of a beautiful 4th of July, Independence Day. I spent the day up at Monticello watching some friends become U.S. citizens. That was truly an amazing and fun and sunburning event. For someone who's normally chalky white, I do have a little more sun than otherwise. Let me take a moment and thank the folks in Harrisonburg on 95.1 listening to us today, somewhat because of Blue Ridge Mountain Sports letting us be on the air. They're encouraging you to discover the outdoor adventures right on your doorstep at area, state, and national parks this summer. The staff at your local Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can help you with camping supplies and maps, guides, and even suggestions for excursions. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, located in the Barracks Road Shopping Center in Charlottesville. You can find them at Wintergreen and in Richmond on West Broad Street and the Chesterfield Town Center. All right, pretty educational show for the day. I think I know just by doing my homework, I've already learned a lot. But there's so much more out there. And hopefully those of you listening today can get caught up in things as well. Let me introduce my guests. We'll start with Roger Cavendish. Roger, how are you?
Really good, really good.
Thank you so much. Driving down from Fredericksburg.
Yes, I did.
Well, and not you had anything else to do. It's all rainy out there.
Uh-huh.
Roger, owner of Spotsy Wind Energy.
Yes, sir.
A personal wind turbine business.
Yes.
So you can put up your own...
Put up your wind turbine for your house.
And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today.
Yes,
your personal carbon footprint and how to find alternative energy to take care of that. And Paul Risberg from Alt Energy Incorporated. Paul?
Good morning, Rick.
Right here in Charlottesville, right?
That's right.
A smaller drive.
Right.
And people may be familiar with Alt Energy Incorporated as one of the businesses that underwrites here on WNRN. In fact, I think I have something to read later in the hour. Thank the two of you gentlemen for coming in today. Personal carbon footprint. Write down the phone number. Stretch the finger muscles for your call later or your typing. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS if you need the toll-free number. WNRN-STUDIO for those of you listening on the computer. Guys, let's start with the basic. The title of my show today, Personal Carbon Footprint. What makes up the personal carbon footprint? I mean, you started to hear that a little more in the media and in personal conversation, but what makes that? What's the definition?
Okay. I'll start the for most people when they think of carbon footprint, I think the best way to come up with a number that you're going to try to reduce is to say that all the energy that you use during the day, gasoline or electricity or air conditioning or hot water, was produced by consuming some kind of, or the energy, there was some kind of energy consumed, and the production of that energy released carbon dioxide. So if you just think about that throughout the day and find ways to use less energy, you typically will reduce the amount of carbon dioxide that is produced in order to get that energy to you, and that's usually positive. It saves you money, and it's probably a really positive impact on the environment too.
So, Roger, what we're talking about here is the amount of fuel, amount of fossil fuels that we're using. Is that what makes up the carbon footprint?
That's part of it. The like coal, even oil, anything that's not, you know, wind and solar are not carbon, but you know they're not a carbon footprint. But wood, coal, anything that contaminates the environment is what we're trying to eliminate.
So my wood stove creates carbon.
Well, your wood stove. I mean, you can drive through the valleys, And you can see smoke coming through all these houses, and it's polluting there also.
So my fantasy idea, I guess, that using my wood stove is better than using my electric baseboard heat, I'm completely wrong about that.
Yes, you are, because you have to cut down trees for the wood. At one time, this continent was trees from ocean to ocean. And I mean, and now we're cutting down trees not just to build buildings and houses, we're cutting down trees just to heat our homes. And I realize trees replenish themselves, but it takes a long time. It takes a week to burn a tree, but it takes years to grow that tree.
I do want to make the point, though, that if you use wood to heat your home, it is better in many ways than burning other fossil fuels like petroleum, because a tree's growth absorbs carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So your and of course coal at one time probably was a tree, and so was oil, but the cycle is much shorter. So people who consume wood, particularly that they've grown or that has fallen, that carbon dioxide would be released into the atmosphere anyway. Over a longer term. So if you are consuming wood that's to heat your home, it's still a better cycle than consuming electricity, which was typically in this area, it's either nuclear or coal energy that produced that electricity, and it's a healthier way to utilize your trees.
Paul Risberg from a solar company, Alt Energy Incorporated. Roger Cavendish from a wind energy alternative, Spotsy Wind Energy, here talking about the personal carbon footprint. We're not going to really speak too much to the national issue about using up less imported fuel, et cetera. This is more about things that you can do at your home to make some changes and things. Are there any statistics either of you have about the individual or the average family in terms of carbon creation and things that can be reduced by switching to one of these alternatives?
No, I don't have any. I have none.
One thing I just noticed, I've recently been looking around at some cars, and there's an interesting statistic that now is listed with cars, and that's the amount of carbon they produce per mile. It's a similar measurement to miles per gallon, I'm sure Roger could speak to this too, that the amount of hot water or energy that people use within their home. For instance, a typical home, 25% of the entire energy budget for a family of four, that'd be a couple with kids, usually goes to produce hot water. So, you know, we produce systems that we build systems that make hot water and systems that produce electricity. As does Roger, but the average home, that 25% of its energy bill releases to create hot water releases about 2,000 pounds a year of CO2 into the atmosphere. A car that you drive, I think I have the statistic right, for each gallon of fuel that you burn in your car, each gallon of gasoline releases about 2.5 pounds of carbon dioxide into the air as well. So the sheer volume, most people are kind of unaware of how big of a quantity of carbon dioxide they use just in their everyday life.
Yeah, I went online to a couple different websites where you could punch in the numbers, some questions that were asked of you, to determine what your personal carbon footprint was. I wrote one of them down. It's climatecrisis.net. And you answer questions about how many people live in your home, how many miles you drive, what year and, you know, type of car that you have, how many loads of laundry you do per week, what your average electric bill is, what were some of the others. Anyway, you punch this in and it tells you what your number is based on average. Are you less, more, etc.? And I was very surprised, and some of this, I suppose, is being living alone in the house, so I can't split my electric bill amongst three other people if it's a family of four. But the percentage of my bill, my electric bill, is what blew my whole number out of the water. I mean, it was just amazing when I cheated and went back and changed my average electric bill per month. It just, the effect on my ending number was unbelievable. Now, as I mentioned earlier, my choices are wood stove or electric baseboard heat. So in the winter, my electric bill skyrockets, even if I run the wood stove every day. So what kind of answer does solar energy have when what we're talking about here is the water heater? And Roger, in terms of a wind turbine, how does that affect the heating bill, the average electric bill? I mean, we're not talking about whether or not you recycle.
Right.
We're not talking about whether you drive an SUV or a Prius and how far you drive to work. I mean, that seems to me to be the major aspect of carbon creation is your home electric bill, right?
Right.
So right. How does the wind turbine work in reducing that?
Well, during the winter months, during the summer months, we get very little bit of wind here in central Virginia. But in the winter months, we get considerable. And I put my wind turbine up August the 12th. And during the winter months, this past winter, which was really a cold winter, we had three months of substantial cold this year. No snow, but we had a lot of cold, and it reduced my kilowatt hour per usage by as much as 55% per month for the months of December, January, February, and March, and. But during the summer months now, the wind turbine, it really doesn't do a lot. Like yesterday, normally I use 74 to 77 kilowatt hours per day. Yesterday, even though it was fairly windy yesterday, it wasn't much wind. I mean, the propeller turned, but not much. I still had to purchase 63 kilowatt hours. So during the summer months, the wind turbine is not a very efficient unit.
And how much, so the part that you did generate, does that cover, what would that cover in the house? I mean, are we talking about enough to cover your refrigerator running, enough to do a couple loads of laundry?
Actually, it's how the wind turbine hooks up to your house. It hooks up just like electric dryer. It back feeds into your house, a 220 breaker. And when the wind's blowing, the house will use your wind energy first. If there's excess energy, then it will make the wheel turn backwards so that when the wind's not blowing, it'll come back the other way. So during the winter months, this December, January, February, and March, I only had to purchase 45% of my electricity from my whole house. So I was purchasing 1,000 kilowatt hours compared to the previous winters when I was purchasing 2,200 to 2,400 kilowatt hours per month.
And Roger, in terms of your business at Spotsy Wind Energy, is the turbine sold under the pretense of here, cover your hot water heater, or here, cover your entire home?
Your entire home.
Because
it's just a crutch. It will not 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It will not replace being on the grid. It is just a crutch to help you, just to help you reduce your utility purchase from whether it's Rappahannock Electric, Dominion, or Southside, or whatever utility company you use. It just helps reduce your purchase price.
Now, Paul Risberg from Alt Energy Incorporated. When I went to the website, there are certainly a lot of really interesting pictures, different homes, different setups. Some buildings with an entire roof of solar panels, and then a couple homes that just have one or two. So is the majority of your business, at least the majority of your marketing to the individual homeowner, to start by putting up one panel or two panels to cover your hot water heater?
Well, one thing I wanted to clear up that we talked about a little earlier is that you said that most people, when they think of solar, have a pretty good idea of what the panel looks like. And in fact, probably I would say most people probably don't know that there's really two distinct kind of solar panels that are in common use. One that does produce hot water, like you're talking about, and that probably is the focus of our marketing, because that's usually a real logical first kind of installation for people to make, because it's cost effective. It's more cost effective than producing electricity. The other kind, so one panel, one solar collector panel produces heat that you use for hot water. One produces electricity and connects to the grid, similar to a wind turbine. So there's two distinct kinds. And so what you saw is that when there's one panel on a roof, that's usually to produce solar hot water. And that's we use evacuated tube collectors, which are, that kind of look like big long glass tubes that are 7 feet long, and they're spaced in a row. They don't take up a lot of space. And the reason we do that is because it's more efficient to produce heat than to produce electricity. And so we get to use heat in hot water that people use, you know, every day. Most people take showers and dishwashers and that kind of thing. So they have a really consistent demand for hot water. So that would be a first step. And then the ones that you saw that have the roof completely covered, those are photovoltaic cells or panels. And those are a completely different technology. And they would operate just the same as a turbine would. You connect them to the grid. They fill your needs in the home first, but they're probably not going to produce as much as you need many, many days, many hours of the day. And, of course, they're not going to produce anything at night when there's no sunlight. So if you stay connected to the grid, you can buy from the utility, from Dominion Power, power you need when you're not producing it, and then if you're producing more than you need, you sell it right back to the utility. So that's called a grid-tied system, and it's pretty effective. It just makes, it guarantees that all of the electricity that you produce is getting used by someone. It may not be you. You may actually be selling it to Dominion, and they're selling it to someone else.
Let me take this phone call. And let's see, we got Gary from Charles. Hi, Gary.
Hey there.
Where have you been?
Pretty good. I'm enjoying this rainy weather, huh? No sun, no solar.
Yeah.
I want to compliment you, gentlemen, on what you're doing here. And I want to address a statement made by the gentleman from Fredericksburg. I'm sorry I didn't get his name. But it was about the, and actually you were just talking about it as I was listening here on the phone, the idea of the wheel going backwards, selling the energy back to the grid. Is that available in Virginia?
Yes, it is. It's called net metering.
And any type of solar hookup that involves electricity that is done by installers these days will do that.
Yes, sir.
That makes it, that's a pretty important selling point.
Right.
I'm not sure many people are fully aware of that, because I know over the years that's been a huge contentious point, whether the power companies would go for it or not. So maybe you guys are aware of that because you work in the industry, but some of us laymen out here are not quite aware of that. Because that involves the whole idea of storage, right?
Yes, it does.
Well, I'm glad to hear that that is a reality in Virginia. And you guys were talking about the solar hot water heaters, and I certainly recognize that in Virginia that is probably one of the most effective places to get your energy and knock down that carbon footprint. So I'll let you continue, and I thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
Hey, Gary. Thanks, man. All right, 11:19 on the wake-up call. It's Roger Cavendish from Spotsy Wind Energy. And it's Paul Risberg from Alt Energy Incorporated. Roger, raising your hand. Hang on just a second. 979-0919. If you want to call and ask a question like Gary, it's WNRNstudio@AOL.com for your instant message. Roger, can you hang on and let me do this?
Yes.
You can remember your point?
Yes.
All right. It's Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy with showers today. Highs 70 to 75. Cloudy with showers tonight. Lows 55 to 60. Lower 60s in Richmond. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs in the mid-80s. Right now, light rain across most of the listening area. 64 in the valley. 65 in Lynchburg. 65 in Richmond. 64 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. And brgtshirts.com. We also want to make sure to thank the listeners out there, because aside from the program underwriters, it's the listeners that allow us to be on the air. Brenda and Bill Jones, Gary Grant, Sarah Landon, all who supported us during the spring fund drive, as well as listeners who should call in 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, and the underwriters, like Plan 9 Music and Freestyle. Stay tuned. Tell a friend about all the programming you enjoy on WNRN and the upcoming fund drive in September. Roger Cavendish and Paul Risberg here as we talk about your personal carbon footprint. Roger, you had something you wanted to add to that caller?
Yes, sir. There's a lot of people that have the impression that the utilities company buy back your electricity, and they think they're going to get this big check from the utility company. Well, even if they did buy it back, they're going to buy it back from you at wholesale price, and which is not very much. So it's what you really like doing is, like I said, net metering, where it makes the wheel go backwards, and they actually store the unused electricity for you, because it's going back into the system. And when the wind's not blowing, the wheel comes back the other way.
So that was the idea that I had, I guess, of a really windy day is, okay, it's a nice windy day and I save enough, and there's enough going around that I'm providing all of my electricity, or it's enough of a sunny day that everything that I've gotten that for, I have a zero net use.
Right.
And even an overflow. So I don't have a box there that's storing my stuff for tomorrow?
No. It just makes the wheel go backwards.
But one thing that's important is that, and what Roger's talking about, is that you don't want to produce, first of all, the technology is very expensive to produce all of your electricity, if that was your goal. But the idea that you could take a 12-month period and add up all the electricity you used, and that what net metering does is it essentially gives you 12 months with which to repay the utility with all that electricity. So essentially they're paying you for your electricity that you produce exactly the same rate that you're paying them.
Right.
But if you produced more than that, they're not going to write you a check. And of course, right now it wouldn't make sense to build a system that produced more than you actually could use.
Why not?
Because it's so expensive. It's kind of, I'll give it a similar kind of analogy to, I'm a large restaurant, producing meals, can produce them much cheaper than you can in your home, because they're making a whole bunch at one time. And the same with Dominion Power. They've been making electricity in monstrous power plants for 75 years, and you are not going to be able to compete with them on a watt-for-watt basis, building a little, 5,000-watt system on your home when they're producing megawatts in one large plant. So for you to come out and expect to be able to produce as electricity as inexpensively as they do is probably not a realistic expectation. But you certainly could just take your little portion that you consume and plan on trying to find a way to produce that smaller amount of electricity and make it worthwhile. But what we're talking about is, if you try to build a power plant and sell electricity to other people, you're just not going to be able to compete effectively.
Roger, is the we mentioned having one solar panel or more, I suppose, depending on the size of your family and the use of your electric. Is it just one wind turbine for the house from Spotsy Wind?
Well, you can put as many as you want, but...
What's the, you know, we talk about it not being financially, you know, cost-effective to put in, but so many solar panels because you're not going to, it costs so much in the end.
Well, that's the way wind turbines are, because wind turbines, to purchase and to install, you're looking at around $15,000 to $18,000, and that's to purchase and install. So you need to do your usage. We'll take away the 30% tax break that President Obama has given us through the year 2016. But then do your kilowatt hours. How much are you using now? This is going to save, like for me, it's saved 55%. Well, it's going to take me about 3 years and 4 months to pay for my unit.
Yeah, but did you get the employee?
No,
cost benefit
because
there?
At the time I purchased mine, I was not a dealer, so I had to purchase mine as through retail. But and also mine was also based on the price I was paying per kilowatt hours in August. So I will probably have a shorter payoff because I understand utility companies are putting in for a price increase. So mine will pay off sooner. But you need to take the price of the unit, the tax break, and then just figure out how long it's really going to take you to pay for your unit. If it's going to take 20 years, that's not a very good buyback.
Now, my vision of the wind turbine, the wind farm. I know there's a wind farm on the Eastern Shore in Virginia.
Right.
There's, and you also envision them out in the plains, you know, of the United States. I live in the woods.
Right.
Can I put up a wind turbine?
You have to go above the trees.
So what's the average height?
Well,
before I have to start putting in a foundation that's going to have to.
Oh, you have to put a foundation in for anything.
I understand
anything.
That. But you know, what's the average foundation size for the average height? You know, what's that? And then as I have to go high enough above the trees, because I live in an area that's got a lot of old, big trees.
Well, now, the poles come in 34, 45, and 60-foot height. That's a monopole. Now, if you go with the lattice type pole like you have on the cell towers, you can go up, you know, you can go up 200 feet, but you still have to go above the trees. And for those, you don't, for the lattice type, you don't need much of a foundation, but for the monopole, even for a 34 foot pole, you have to have a foundation 3 foot diameter, 8 to 10 foot deep with concrete and rebar. And the higher your pole, the bigger your pole, and depending on your soil type, that tells you how big your foundation has to be.
Roger, now let's talk about Charlottesville Albemarle. I would assume that you're pretty familiar with the codes and regulations there. Can I do that in Charlottesville Albemarle? Because I know that if you live in the city, technically you're not supposed to have a building any taller than the rotunda, although I know that that's sure can't see that when you look at the hospital and some other places. But do you know what the height regulations are here?
Well, not in Charlottesville, but I know most counties have, without getting a variance, have a 35 to 50 foot height restriction that you can't go any higher than that without getting a variance, which that's just a matter of going to the Board of Supervisors. And it takes 6-8 months, maybe a year. And there's some counties, like we just put one up and put two in Fauquier County out on a farm. And even though they had the restriction, the height restriction, it wasn't a problem because it was out on, you know, a 50-acre farm. You can't see it from anywhere.
Yeah,
and it's not about to fall on anybody's property.
That's one of the things that I've never really understood about the turbines is people say that they are unattractive. I happen to find them to be quite beautiful. Maybe that's my personal opinion. Is I understand the complaint and whether it's true or not, and I assume that you would, about there being danger to the birds. But I've never understood the issue about them being unattractive. How do you explain that to a potential customer and help them do any battling that they may need to do with their county regulations?
Just look at the pictures of them. Drive by some of the ones that are up. I mean, I have mine. Mine's up over in Bowling Green on Route 301. And if it wasn't for the sign in my front yard, I would say 75-80% of people would never notice my wind turbine.
Hey, what's your website, by the way, so people can go look?
It's spotsywindenergy.com.
.com?
Yeah, Spotsy Wind, my throat's dry, excuse me. Spotsywindenergy.com.
So it's Spotsy with an S in there, S-P-O-T-S-Y.
Windenergy.com.
Because I did look, and one of the things that caught my attention was that, aside from the fan, I think the normal image is that the fan is perpendicular to the ground, like a fan in your home.
Yes.
But
yes,
there are a variety of these fans that are horizontal.
Well,
much like a what's the thing on top of your roof?
A wind ventilator.
A wind,
right,
that points a direction or something
right.
like that.
Right.
And I found that to be I didn't know that. It educated me a little bit.
Right. Well, right now the ones I sell, SkyStream 3.7, they are the most efficient on the market today here in the United States. But here in the United States, we're so far behind in solar and wind compared to Europe. Okay, in 1978, we had a president who didn't do a lot. Jimmy Carter didn't do a lot right, but he did have a tremendous energy plan. And if your listeners have a chance, go back and pull up Jimmy Carter's National Energy Plan and see where we would be today if we had stayed on that plan. They would be turbines, solar panels, we'd have nuclear power plants, cars. We would not be buying oil. We would be so energy efficient right now that, I mean, but right now we're so far behind the rest of the world. And the best thing can happen to this country, I know this is going to make a lot of people mad, is for our gas to go back to $4.50 a gallon and for our utility bills to go higher, then the American people will demand that our industry produce energy efficient products.
Yeah, you're trying to make the phone ring about that topic, aren't you?
Oh yeah.
As we do talk about the personal
because
carbon footprint.
Because we need to be energy efficient.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we're having the show today. Roger Cavendish from Spotsy Wind Energy in Fredericksburg. Paul Risberg from Alt Energy Incorporated here in Charlottesville. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks and WNRN Studio for the online Paul?
I just wanted to make a point, too, before I forget this. Earlier, you made a really great point, something we ought to talk about. You asked if in your home you use wood heat and electric baseboard, and what could you personally do? Well, I would say ideally any person who owns a home or an apartment, one of the first things you can do is conserve. And it's probably the most effective way we have to deal with the carbon footprint.
I am already freezing my tail off every winter for fear of that baseboard heat cranking too much of a bill.
Conservation would probably be, of course, that's one way to conserve, but you don't have to impact your lifestyle very radically to conserve. In fact, you might actually even become more comfortable, and that would be things like better insulation, better appliances, better fixtures in your home. So that you actually can maintain your comfort level and use less energy. And that's probably, you know, as Roger was saying earlier, it's one of the things that I think as a country we probably haven't done a very good job at, which is allowing or asking consumers to demand more effective consumers of energy, whether it's your home. You know, that we should be building homes that require heating HVAC systems that are, you know, one half of the size they are. We just haven't caught up to insulation standards that the rest of the civilized world is using. We can build much more efficient homes than we do. And, you know, it's one of the things we talk about with customers all the time, which is reducing your carbon footprint is actually a great side effect of saving money. If you build your homes so that they use less energy, you knock out a lot of really positive goals at one time. You save money, you reduce your impact on the environment, you reduce reliance on traditional energy resources. And so it's not kind of a tree hugger kind of thing. It's not just a a Republican or a Democratic thing. It actually, there's just a whole host of good things that happen when you use less energy in your home and building structures and vehicles that are can give you the same lifestyle that you're used to and use less energy is not a terribly difficult thing to do. We can get there in a very short period of time.
It's the selfish issue that we all have something to say about, right? Cut my energy bill, you know, regardless of whether I wear a a hippie skirt or not. All right, let's take a call here. And I'm not wearing a hippie skirt all day, by the way. We got Scott from Charlottesville. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right, man. What you got for us?
I'll toss up two questions, and you can make your choice. Number one that somebody started to get into a little bit is, what role does simply incorporating even further requirements into building codes play for new construction? At some point, would you envision solar panels as part of required code? Each house have a certain energy independence factor, for instance. And then maybe number two, on a whole different note that you just started to touch on, and you don't even have to go too political with it, but certainly there are factors in this country that don't believe in conservation, that think the answer is simply producing more energy, drill, baby, drill. So there certainly are Democratic and Republican issues that, in fact, it is, basic difference in philosophy. You want to cover either one of this?
Sure, we'll jump on that. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, let's start with the second one first about... how do you get people to change their mindset about how do I reduce, my personal money spent on the same amount of energy that I am using and want to keep having? How do you change that mindset?
You just really have to tell yourself, I'm not going to use as much electricity next month. And there's a lot of ways that you can actually reduce your electric bill forever for probably less than $500.
Yeah, but are we talking about reducing the kilowatts used or the money spent on the kilowatts used?
Both.
Because I think what Scott was talking about was, and Scott, if I'm wrong, call me back and correct me, but I think what Scott was catching on with part two is it's not just substituting alternative energy for fossil fuel energy, and therefore, it's less money out of my pocket. It's reducing the kilowatt usage wherever it comes from overall as a person, as a family, as a country.
Yes. You can go to Lowe's, Home Depot, any of these places. One of the first things you do is get a timer to put on your hot water heater. Your hot water heater is your single biggest electric user in your house. And you use it for an hour a day. The rest of the time, it just keeps your water hot. If you put a timer on your hot water heater to have it come on to certain hours, there's no use heating hot water when you're not home. Nobody's going to use it unless a burglar breaks in. And you can also, all these little lights you have on in your house, like right now I'm looking at a clock here that has a LED light on it. Well, that's burning electricity. Even your TV set, I just read this recently, uses 5% more electricity turned off than it does when it's turned on.
I read something similar about you don't have to unplug your cell phone charger when you leave because it's using electricity even though the phone isn't attached to it.
Yes, so it's what I had this before. I I've been on Carter's plan for a long time. Everything in my house is on surge suppressors. My TV, I turn it off at nighttime. I don't turn the TV off. I turn your surge suppressor off. I turn my microwave off with my surge suppressor. I don't have all these lights blinking when I'm not home. And I don't need my microwave oven, my stove, my radio, my TV, and everything telling me what time it is. I've got 10 items in my house that have a clock on them. Turn all those lights off. You can conserve easily, and just doing simple things and really, really reduce your electric bill.
All right, 11:39 here in the Wake Up Call. Roger Cavendish from Spotsy Wind Energy. Paul Risberg from Alt Energy Incorporated. Paul, I need to do this real quick. When we come back, I want to talk about Scott's first question about building code requirements. All right.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, Albemarle County's dog barking ordinance gets put to the test as a dispute between former friendly neighbors heats up. The Hook takes a look at a few area restaurants already banning smoking in their business before the ban becomes state law later in the year. And catch up on the latest news regarding large amounts of money spent on the possible new dam for the Charlottesville area. The Hook, possible use for sun-sensitive skin. And Paul Risberg is here in the studio, so let's make sure to thank him personally for his support of Alt Energy of Charlottesville, helping design and install solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems now practical and reliable and can pay for themselves in a few years while reducing your carbon footprint. You can also make a difference by having kids turn off lights when they leave a room, making sure computers are off, or set to hibernate when not in use. More can be found at altenergyincorporated.com. And Drew Thompson just walked in the room, so let's remind you at noon, Les Temps Purdue, bringing you the best from college alternative and underground scenes in the 80s and 90s. Some of the best, biggest acts and cult classics you haven't heard in years. That's Les Temps Purdue at noon today, only on WNRN. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks, WNRN Studio at AOL.com. Scott called in with that question about building code requirements and tightening them, strengthening them to help save electricity to, push people a little more to what's now called alternative energy. What do you think? Are we headed there?
We're definitely heading there, and I think it's not long overdue, but it's definitely overdue. But it's a double-edged sword in some ways, in that increasing the effectiveness of building codes, in other words, forcing people to build more efficient structures, almost always means they cost more. And there's a cost to the moving the building code into making the building code more efficient. And of course, in Charlottesville in particular, we have a housing cost that's already above the surrounding area. So you know we're on two tracks. We're trying to find ways to make housing less expensive, more affordable for people, but at the same time asking people or forcing people to spend more money to build more efficient structures, it may seem like it's not in tune with them, but actually I think it is, in that what happens is that when you build more efficient housing, the life cycle costs of energy in that home become much lower, so actually housing does become more affordable for people. But it does cost more up front, and I think we're finding that in all kinds of things these days. I'm sure, you know, that's exactly what Roger's talking about with wind, what we do with solar photovoltaic and solar thermal systems, which is they all require a pretty significant upfront investment, but over the life cycle of the equipment, they allow people to spend less money on the energy that they consume. So building codes are, I think, just an outstanding way for any community to make a real impact.
Is there any negative code out there right now? And by negative, I mean anything that still exists from 10, 20, 50 years ago that is making it a little more difficult than should be to put solar panels on your roof?
There are zones, architectural review boards, urban planning zones that may or may not allow us to put solar panels in a prominent place that could be viewed.
It might be the best place for the most.
It could be. Receiving. Although there are often alternative locations, and I'm sure with wind, in an urban environment, it's a lot more difficult to place wind. So I would venture to say that Roger would agree with me that there are hundreds of solutions to our energy problems. And solar heat's one, wind is one, conservation are some, efficient vehicles, improving building codes, all of those together are probably the only way we're going to reach real energy impact.
Here's a question from the internet. How do you incorporate new technology in older homes? And I guess this jumps on top of what you were talking about, Paul Risberg from Alt Energy Incorporated. Historic homes. Charlottesville, Albemarle have a lot of historic homes. How do you put new technology in older homes? And I guess that's more along the lines of older infrastructure on the home itself, and then also from a historic home.
Well, one of the things that we do when we first find someone that's interested in solar technologies would be to try to survey the infrastructure in their home and find out what is an area where we can invest the least amount of money to get the most return. And sometimes that will be hot water. Sometimes it'll be replacing a boiler that's 40 years old. Sometimes it'll be adding insulation. So I don't think I could answer that question and say it. There's going to be one solution that's going to work for an older home. Basically, we're trying to find the worst offender in a home, whether, you know, if it's energy consumption in the heating system.
I read something called energy audit on your website. Is that what you're talking about?
It is, yeah. And that can be informal. It can be formal. There are several companies in town. We make referrals to companies that if you own a home and you're committed to trying to find cost-effective ways to improve your energy consumption picture, it only makes sense to know what the worst offender is, and because that's going to give you the best return on your investment.
Are they going to tell me that I've seen some of those programs, and I don't even know whether they're real, you know, like Discovery Channel or you know, overnight sales pitches, where they have a picture of your home with, you know, infrared, telling me this is where the cold air is coming from. Is that what you're talking about?
It is. That's just so effective for just getting a picture of where all your dollars are going, both heating and air conditioning.
Do you do that as well,
sir.
Roger?
No,
that's not something for the wind turbine.
Well, it's something for everybody. If they want to be energy efficient, to find out whether they're losing the heat or the cold. And it might be, if it's bad enough, if they just seal, after they do that, they could see where they're losing and seal the house. And that would be a big savings, that alone, without even worrying about the wind or solar. First, you have to take everything one step at a time. That should be the first thing you're really going to do if you're really interested in conserving energy. Find out where you're losing your energy. Take care of that problem, and then go to the source that's going to produce energy for you.
I guess that goes back to Scott's call where he said, you know, hey, it's not just, or it shouldn't just be about saving money out of your pocket. It should also be reducing your kilowatt expenses. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Roger Cavendish from Fredericksburg's Spotsy Wind Energy. Paul Risberg from Alt Energy Incorporated here in Charlottesville. By the way, the program will be podcast, and we'll make sure to include the websites so you can click on that and get a little more information about these businesses as well. Hey, Roger, does solar energy receive more information, more positive guidance than the solar panel? I mean, it seems like the solar panel's in every program now, but the wind turbine, you don't think of that as your home thing.
Yeah, I think you're right there, but you have so much negative publicity about the solar. People worried about killing the birds, and I've had mine up for 11 months, and I've yet to see a bird. And I've yet to see a bird, a bat, or anything underneath my wind turbine. And wind turbines just get a lot of negative publicity, and which is uncalled for.
Paul, we got a question here, somebody who, anonymous question. that the payback for excessive energy from the wind turbines was discussed, but can you talk about payback for photovoltaic?
I can. You know, I listened to Rogers. He said he's getting a quick payback, and that's great. We try to do spreadsheets which look at actual costs, and right now people pay an average of 8.5 cents a kilowatt hour for energy from Dominion here in Charlottesville, and that's pretty typical throughout the state, which I'll just note nationally is very low. So we're both blessed and cursed with a really low cost of electricity in Virginia. Depending, of course, on the size of the system, we'll tell you the percentage of electricity that it's going to produce of what you use. But on a typical home that uses 1,500 kilowatt hours a month, that would just be an average home. Of course, what you really use, you need to look at your utility bills and find out. But our systems, when you take advantage of the 30% federal tax credit, which is the total cost of the system, including materials and installation labor, we also have a program where people sell solar renewable energy credits to states that force utilities to buy them. Virginia doesn't do that, but we are able to help people sell these credits in other states, which also increases their income about 30% of the cost of the electricity they use. We find that paybacks on solar photovoltaic is about 15 to 18 years on average when we take advantage of both of those. The life of the systems is 20 to 25 years. And it has no moving parts, so it's pretty low maintenance. So I was interested to find out if something costs $18,000 and you get a 30% tax credit, that means you spent $12,000. So if it will pay for itself in 4 years, that means that you're producing $3,000 worth of electricity a year, and I don't see how you can get that quick of a payback on wind energy.
All right. I guess it's just like everything else is do your personal homework.
Right.
You know, it's something's going to work better for your family and your use than someone else.
Right.
Let's talk a minute about the federal tax credits. Is it just federal tax credit? Does it have a time limit on it? Is there any benefit from the state or local level adding it in now versus doing it when a home is built?
I'll speak to solar, I think it's pretty close to the same as for wind right now. It's 30% tax credit, which is a federal tax credit, so it'd be taken on your federal income taxes. It's not a deduction, so it's full dollar, 30% of the cost of your system. That's the amount it will reduce your taxes by, so it's very usable for most people.
So you're saying if I owe the federal government $3,000, I don't owe them anything because of my $3,000 tax credit?
That's right. That's right. It's
so whatever the last number is, I get to subtract $3,000 out of it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
that's
it's
sweet.
Very usable.
Actually, that's pretty sweet.
It is very sweet. So statewide, Virginia has no tax credits that they are sending from Richmond. There are localities like Charlottesville and a few other ones that are creating some programs which give some property tax relief. It's a relatively small amount. The city of Charlottesville right now is working on a loan program which will allow homeowners to actually borrow interest-free money to put alternative energy improvements on their home, which could help significantly if you can borrow money with no cost. But the federal tax credit in Virginia is pretty much the whole ball of wax.
Roger, is that the same for the wind energy?
Yes, it's 30%, and it's in effect until the year 2016 that you get to 30%. I mean, you can either do it. You can do it 1 year. Well, I believe you can do it multi-year, right? You don't have to take the 30% all 1 year. I think you can do it
That's
over
right.
two or three year period.
If you were fortunate enough to create a credit that was more than your taxes, you can carry it over to the next year.
Right.
So if I only owe $1,000, I don't have to use all $3,000 at one time.
Right. You can. Right. You have until 2016.
Is there any concern about a new president in 2012?
No.
Who might change that?
Well, hopefully it'd increase it, but no, there's no chance that'll happen.
So there's no concern by either of you in your solar or wind energy businesses that that they might change that $3,000 credit?
No.
Okay. 979-0919, time for one last question or so if you want to call up. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, talking with Paul Risberg from Charlottesville's Alt Energy Incorporated, a solar energy. Roger Cavendish from Fredericksburg's Spotsy Wind Energy, wind turbines. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst, Lynchburg. Gentlemen, we talk about getting your money back. And Roger, you mentioned that it's about an $18,000.
That's if you pay me to put it up for you.
Well, I would think, I don't know that I want to be digging my own foundation. And I would think that that's a few percentage of people, right, who would actually put it up themselves.
No. The hardest thing about
putting up. I asked Rusty to change my oil.
Well, if you've got a pickup truck with a trailer hitch, that's how you stand it up. The hardest thing to do is dig in the foundation for the wind turbine. After that, if you've got a pickup truck with a trailer hitch, I've got the gen pole and the hinge plate that you hook onto the pole.
So you already lost me. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, you're just, a lot of people will. But you just drive forward about 20 feet and you stand your pole right up. You can do, if you do it yourself, you can do your own electrical. You can be your own contractor. So you don't have to hire an electrician. You can do your own hookup. But it does have to be inspected. By the county,
which is why I would ask you to come do it anyway, because they're just going to shut me down.
Well, it's there's no use paying me $5,000 to $6,000 to drive forward about 20 feet and dig a hole. I mean, it's so cost effective for people. I actually had an 83-year-old lady that's going to put one up herself.
All right, let me take this call from Mark real quick. Mark, how you doing?
Good.
All right, question, comment.
Okay, a couple quick comments and a quick question for Paul. Ready?
Yes.
I think you got a balance between wind and sun in the summertime when the wind's not blowing. And certainly there's tons of farms in Virginia that could certainly use that wind power thing. But for Paul, this direct question, the payback on a hot water heating system.
Well, I didn't talk about that earlier. I was talking about photovoltaic. On hot water systems, if you have a family of four or five, the bigger the better, because, of course, that means you use more hot water, we are finding that typical raw payback times are in the 8-year range.
Okay.
There are other applications like firehouses or hotels or laundries that have even shorter, much shorter payback times. But for a typical family, it's around 8 years.
How long would the installation time be on a typical home?
It's usually 2 full days with 2 guys, so we schedule a couple a week.
That sounds like a pretty good idea to reduce my carbon footprint.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. We're finishing up here. Gentlemen, thank you both for coming on. Paul Risberg, Alt Energy Incorporated. What's your website again?
It's altenergyincorporated.com. So spell it all out, ALTENERGY, incorporated.com.
And Roger?
SpotsyWindEnergy.com. SpotsyWindEnergy.com.
All right. And again, we'll have the program up at podcast later today or tomorrow. You can check out the websites. We'll put a link in there, and you can listen to the whole program if for some reason you had something else going on and you didn't catch us for the whole hour. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next week, we'll be having folks from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District to talk about a recent transportation survey that they did and driving and riding and public transportation in this area. Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.